Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ, what should we do? Should we obey the government? Well, according to the Bible, especially in Romans chapter 13, under most circumstances, yes, we should obey the government. However, though, there are times when we should not. Let's try to understand this a little bit better. God established the governments to serve Him for our benefit. However, when the orders of a government conflict with the Word of God, then we must obey the Word of God rather than that particular government. Think about how it's structured. We have God up here, we have the government here, and then we're down below. So the government should always be in harmony with God. When the government is, then we obey the government. However, when the government is not in harmony with God, then we bypass the government and we obey God rather than the government. It's interesting, as we come to our text today, it's the assigned reading. It's the first reading today. It's in Acts chapter 5. And it's interesting it would come up at this time with the coronavirus and many government restrictions. Thinking about that topic, let me just say this briefly. Please know that our congregation here at Bethlehem, us being open, we are in full compliance with the governor's official orders. Let me say that again. We are in full compliance with the governor's official orders. Now, maybe some of his unofficial orders, that's different. But we are in full compliance with his official orders. So let's rejoice that we can gather and we can do so completely legally in every way. Well, as we get into the text here, we have to look at what happened before that time. So let's look earlier in Acts chapter 5. Of course, at the beginning of that chapter, we have that really exciting story about Ananias and Sapphira. If you don't know that, boy, take a look at that. But then right after that, though, the Bible tells us that the apostles were performing many miracles. Not that they had the ability, but God was working through them in order to work many miracles. And what was the outcome among the people? Many people believed in Jesus because of these miracles. And then what happened? Well, the Bible says that the high priest and the Sadducees, they became jealous of that. So the high priest and the Sadducees, some of the Jewish rulers, they became jealous. So what did they do? They took those apostles and they put them in prison. We have to stop this from going on. Let's put them in prison. However, though, the Bible says that during the night, God sent an angel and let them out of the prison. And what did the angel tell them to do? He said to them, go and tell the people about Jesus. Well, it was quite a shocking thing when the Jewish rulers found out the next day that in fact those men were not in the prison and they didn't know where they were for a while. And then somebody came running and said, hey, I found out where they are. They're right over there and they're telling everybody about Jesus. It was kind of a startling thing. You'd think they would have gotten out of prison and they would have run away as quickly as they could in order to not be caught. But the angel had said, go and tell people. So they did what the angel said. And of course, keep in mind the connection between the angel and God. So angels are simply messengers. So God gave the message to the angel. The angel gave the message to the apostles, and they were following what was said. But keep in mind, though, let me share with you before we get to our text yet, this is what the rulers said to the apostles once they were brought back to them again. "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name," talking here about the name of Jesus, "yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." So it's a very clear thing. Those rulers said definitely, do not mention that guy's name anymore. But yet God very clearly said, go and tell the people about him. We have definitely two very different things. So what is right? To obey the government or to obey God? Getting right into our text now, we pick up in verse 29, and the Bible says, Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So such a wonderful response here by Peter. Let's pick out a couple key things that he said. So first of all, he made it clear, we must obey God rather than men. Now, we can probably think of various stories we've heard over time, and people will say, I did such and such because God told me to do it. Now, in some cases, they had read in the Bible, and there is very clear information in the Bible, and they took it within context, so they acted in a completely proper way because of what God's word says. But then we also know there are other people, and they maybe read something in the Bible, and they didn't understand it, or they twisted it because of their sinful nature, and they went and did something horrible, and yet they did it in the name of God, and they thought it was right. So we have those kinds of things going on too. But here, though, it was a clear message from God, and they followed what God said. So whenever we're doing the same, we want to make sure that we're rightly understanding the Word of God, and we're not just kind of imagining that somehow this must be the will of God. And then, when they were in front of those Jewish rulers, what did they do? They proclaimed the truth. Maybe in a little bit of a sharp way, but they basically said, you guys, you are the ones who killed him, but yet, how did God the Father react to what you did? He raised him back to life. So that was a startling thing for them to hear, but yet they needed to hear that truth. It wasn't to put them down, but it was to open their eyes to what they had done. It was to open their eyes to what God had done, and for them to know that this Jesus, he is your Savior too, in a sense, Peter was saying to them. They might not have picked up on that quite right then, but that is true. And then Peter also said that it is God who gives both repentance and forgiveness. Sometimes people think that because the Bible tells us to repent and believe, that now we think we have the ability to repent and believe. But rather, though, when God gives the command, in the command comes also the very power that we need to be able to then follow the command. So it's not really us who are doing it, but it's God who's working it within us. So when it comes to repentance and forgiveness, very much they're both gifts of God. They are things we desperately need, and let's be thankful that he gives them, even though we are completely undeserving of them. And then Lenski has an interesting comment here. He wrote, "It would be absolutely criminal if the apostles did not testify and proclaim Jesus and God's purpose for his work to all Israel." You know, think about these men. So spending the time with Jesus during his entire ministry, hearing all of his teachings, witnessing all of his miracles, knowing he was dead, seeing him alive, all these things, Lenski is saying it would have been criminal if they wouldn't have testified to the things that they saw and heard. And then we see the response of the Jewish rulers, picking up in our text here in verse 33, the Bible says, "When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill the apostles." So those Jewish rulers, they were, we might say, boiling mad. And if they would have had their way, they would have murdered those men as soon as possible. So we can think about that idea where if you don't like the message, what do? You kill the messenger. And that's exactly what they wanted to do. However, though, we have an interesting situation now going on to verse 34, the Bible says, "But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So, in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God.'" So Gamaliel, very much respected by all the people there. So when he spoke, they listened. He was kind of like E.F. Hutton, I guess. He spoke and they listened. So he reminded them of these other two men. So you had Theudas and you had Judas. Both of them, they rose up and they were radical leaders. And some people liked their message, so they followed them. But with each man, though, he finally was either put to death or he died. And in both cases, all of the followers dispersed. So now Gamaliel is saying, think about Jesus. He was also, in the eyes of many, a radical leader. He had followers. Now he's been put to death. So let's see what happens with the followers. Gamaliel is saying that if what's going on with these men is true, you're not going to be able to stop them. And in fact, you're going to be opposing God if you try to stop them. However, though, if it's false, it's all going to come to nothing. Don't worry about it. It was great advice he gave. Well, what about people today? Think about people in the world today. 7.53 billion people in the world, and many of them, they would say to some degree that Jesus is a fraud. And they'll come up with all kinds of reasons why they think that might be true. Now, they might give him some credit. They might say, well, he was a great man. He was a great teacher. He was a miracle worker. They might say all kinds of things like that. But if they stop short of him being the very Son of God, the promised Savior of the world, and if they stop short of saying that he lived a sinless life and that he died a sacrificial death and that he truly took away the sin of the world, if they stop short of any of that, then what they are doing is they are opposing God, they are rejecting the very Savior that God sent for them, and they are bringing eternal condemnation upon themselves. Many, I'm afraid, are doing that right now, but the good news is, though, that they're still alive. There's still opportunity for them to repent. So if we know of any such people, let us be in contact with them. Let us share God's truth with them, and let us pray for them that God would lead them to repentance and forgiveness. So what happened then after Gamaliel gave this advice? The Bible says they took Gamaliel's advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Let's think about a comparison here. So Jesus, he had to die in order to complete his mission, so he did die. He laid down his life. With the apostles, though, they had to live in order to be able to complete their mission. An apostle is a sent one. Jesus even said, God the Father sent me. So he was sent to live for us and to die for us. With the apostles, they are sent ones, but they are sent to go out into the world and proclaim who Jesus is and what he has done. So they have to live at least for a while in order to do what God called them to do. So God had it all in his control. God worked it all out according to what is best. However, though, they didn't just drop it there, though. They beat these men. Why would they do that? They might have looked at it like this and said, we told you not to talk about Jesus, and you did anyway. So apparently talking to you doesn't work. We need to go further now. We're going to very severely beat you and see if maybe that works. Wensky has a comment here. He said regarding this incident, he said they were stripped and given 39 blows with rods across their back. Why 39? We see that pop up in the Bible here and there. Well, from my understanding, they say that if you were given the 40th one, you would have died. So 39 is bringing you within an inch of your life, but they're not killing you, though. We don't know for certain if that was the case here, but they probably were very severely beaten. So how would they react to that? Let's go on in our text, going to verse 41, the Bible says, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Boy, imagine that. So they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer in the way they did for Jesus. That seems to me so extraordinary. But yet it also reminds me of something Jesus said there, right in the final beatitude at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Now, with everything Jesus said there, he was only talking about name-calling upon people. He wasn't talking about being physically beaten, so it was even much more than what Jesus said. But what was that doing, though? A little bit like we read about in 1 Peter earlier, it was showing that their faith is genuine. Even in the midst of the beating, they did not give up on Jesus. They even rejoiced that they were counted worthy to be treated in such a manner. So amazing. May God help us to look at life in that same way. And then finally, in the last verse, the Bible says, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So they were told not to do it. They were beaten not to do it. And what happened? Well, did they obey God or did they obey the government? They obeyed God. So they were out in public. They were in the temple. They went from house to house. They did so without ceasing. And they continued to tell others about Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we are rejoicing in Jesus, our risen Savior, and knowing that all people so desperately need him. Dear Father, may you help us, may you move us to start now, if we're not already doing it, help us to start now, and help us to never stop telling others about who Jesus is and what he has done for everyone. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.